not a finished product yet. We're not complete. God is still working in our lives, and so we still have this battle going on internally of the flesh and the spirit. The idea is not being perfect in those things, it's that you continue to walk in them. So today we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, a very interesting chapter, if you will. But before we get there, just a quick reminder about this book, New Testament letter. It's 6 chapters long, so we're kind of coming to the close of it. But the whole purpose of this letter, or the context of it, which is very important for us to understand the context, who the author was writing to, the culture, all the things that they were dealing with, was written to this church that the Apostle Paul planted. And people called Judaizers came behind him, and they basically convoluted the gospel message of salvation. And the way that they did that was through an Old Testament Jewish ritual of circumcision. And they said, well, you have to do this to be saved. It's not just by grace through faith alone, which is not true. And so Paul came behind him and he wrote this letter and said, you know, these people are distorting the gospel, right? In fact, it's not a different gospel. It's no gospel at all. And that's what we talked about there in Galatians chapter 1. Now, the reason I say that this will be an interesting chapter for us to cover, because it's at least PG-13 in a couple places, okay? But we're adults. I'm going to read you the text like the Bible says it, okay? And that's my job. I want to read that to you. And so I want to share with you what God's Word says. And I've titled the message today, Don't Be Too Proud. Don't Be Too Proud. And here's why I titled it that way, is because if we're not careful, pride will do some terrible things in our lives. It'll certainly lead us away from God. It will not help us grow spiritually. And so it's just one of those things that really, as our spiritual walk grows and continues with the Lord, we just have to kind of keep that in check. Like, make sure I don't become too prideful in my life. I'll tell you, this is my favorite time of the year. April is my favorite month because it's like, finally, hope is here. It's not going to be cold anymore. Things are blooming, right? It's 40 degrees outside today, and it's like, we're almost there. We're almost through the cold weather. We're so close. And I also love this time of year because I'm a huge college basketball fan. I love college basketball this time of year. But for me, things are not going well right now because I was born and raised in North Carolina, and I'm a North Carolina Tar Heel basketball fan. Now, if you didn't know, they did not make the NCAA tournament. They had a bad year. And then they declined an invitation to play in the NIT tournament. Now, if you're not familiar with basketball, that's like the second tier tournament. If you're an elite team or elite program and you go play the NIT, you kind of get picked on, you get made fun of, you know, you're kind of the butt of the joke or whatever. They declined the invitation to go play. Now, I'm speaking solely from opinion, okay? I don't know Hubert Davis I don't know him personally. I know he's a Christian man. I don't know why they turned it down. I don't know the details. This is pure speculation, okay? I have no basis for this, but I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that because I think you got to be careful what you think you're above, right? You have to be careful what you think. Well, I'm a little too good for that. Well, obviously, they weren't too good for that, right? And I feel like no matter what, and I would especially teach this to my kids, that You always do your best, always. If that's the opportunity that you're given, wear that jersey, wear it proud as you can, be humble. If people are going to bust on you, that's fine, but go and do the best job you can. And so I don't really necessarily agree with that. Now, one thing that that I am going to do because of my disappointment in that, and Doug would be so happy to hear this, but I'm going to, in this tournament, I'm going to pull for NC State in the NCAA tournament, okay? Now, God is changing some things in me. Now, if I'm going to pull for Duke, then I'm going to go kicking and screaming. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know that I can do that. Even if God called me to that, I still don't know if I could do that. I mean, like, that would be, oh, that would be so difficult, okay? So I don't think I can do that, but I can pull for NC State. So that's what I'm going to do this NCAA tournament, even though my alma mater, Liberty, won last night in the NIT, so I'm pulling for them too. But, so anyways, we're going to talk today about this battle of the flesh and the spirit, right? The flesh and the spirit. Both are living in us, and there's this battle within us going back and forth that are at odds with one another, right? And so that's what we're talking about today. We can't be too proud to just give in to the flesh all the time. It's okay to wrestle. It's okay. It's actually good for us to have that battle of the flesh and the spirit within us. And so we're going to talk about that today in Galatians 5. I think we're going to cover all the chapter today if we can on time. I'm going to read a verse. I'm going to explain it, talk about it for a minute, and we'll just kind of go through the chapter that whole way because my intention is this, for you to learn about this book, for you to learn about this chapter, to learn some of the things that are being taught here and why they're being taught. So here we go, Galatians 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Now, we go back to understanding the context of this letter. Yes, we can apply this to our lives, but it's also important that when we read the Bible, we understand who the letter was being written to and the things that were going on around them. Okay? So they were dealing with this, this group of people that were telling them that, you know, you have to do this to be ceremonially clean, right? To be saved, to be righteous. And this is what Paul was saying. No, 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 you don't have to do that. If Christ set you free, then don't bind yourself into the law. And the same is true for us. If Christ has set us free, there's no need for us to take on that yoke of bondage to something that the world would bond us to or enslave us to, if that makes sense. Verse 2. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts the circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. And so again, it goes back to trying to keep a man-made commandment that God says you don't have to keep, right? And so essentially what he's saying, if you want to live by that law, you can, but you have to be held accountable to that law. So if you want to be made right with God by being a good person and that's what you want to bank that on, well, then that's what you're going to be held accountable to, right? And so, you know, I've heard people say and I've talked to people and they say, well, you know, why would, you know, if God is so good, why would God send somebody to hell? Well, God doesn't, and I'm just going to be honest with you, God doesn't send people to hell. It's just a place where people can pay for their own sin if they choose to. And that's the truth of the gospel, right? That's the truth of the gospel. And Christ has set us free from that. Verse 4, we'll continue to read on. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law have fallen away from grace. So what is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Can't be earned. It's a gift. It means this. It's not able to be paid back. You can't pay back a gift, right? It's a gift. That's why it's a gift. And so that's why we often visit Ephesians chapter 2, right? That we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift, right? One of my friends who lives in Nashville that I used to work with, his name is Kyle Froman. He just had his I can't remember what birthday it was, but he's got this ritual. He's about my age, but he's got this thing that he does on his birthday. He reaches out to all his friends, and he raises money and gets donations, and on his birthday, he goes out for dinner, and he gives the waitress a big tip. And they got it on YouTube and all this stuff. It's pretty cool. But they went out to Cracker Barrel, and him and his family. And after dinner, they grabbed the waitress and said, "Hey, we just want to give you a gift. We just want to bless you, and we want you to know that God loves you and God cares about you." And they gave this waitress at Cracker Barrel a tip of $3,200 in cash. Yeah, I mean, just, and it's such a cool thing, and you can see the emotion in that for her. And it wasn't like he was like, "All right, now this is an advance, you know, you gotta pay." Imagine if he said, "You gotta pay it back, you know, we'll be back, you can have it for now, but we're coming back, you gotta pay this back." No. That would completely change it, wouldn't it? It would completely be different, okay? So when we talk about a gift, grace is a gift. That's what it looks like. It's a gift. Okay, verse 5. "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." Now, this is one of the key verses to what we're talking about today. Because it says, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." Here's the challenge for us who are Christians, okay? Here's the challenge. Is that by the cross, you've already been declared righteous, okay? You've already been declared righteous, but still on this side of heaven, we have this battle of the flesh and the spirit, right? We're not a finished product yet. We're not complete. God is still working in our lives, and so we still have this battle going on internally of the flesh and the spirit. That's kind of what we're talking about here towards the end of this chapter. "For in Christ there's neither circumcision or uncircumcision that counts for anything, but only faith working in love." Again, the Bible does not oppose good works. So should we be good people and should we do good deeds? Yes, yes, yes. It's just saying that where we get convoluted with that is when we think salvation comes from that. That's what this whole letter is about in Galatians. Verse 7, "You were running well, so who hindered you from obeying the truth?" I think about running a lot when I read these kind of texts. You know, Paul uses that illustration of running a race. He uses it by talking about endurance a lot, enduring the race. I used to run a lot myself. Now I'm a terrible runner, super slow, can't run very far, but we continue to endure. And a lot of times our faith journey is that way, right? A lot of times our faith journey is that. We may look back and go, "Man, I was doing, you know, better 2 years ago or 3 years ago or last week or whatever," but we continue to press on. We continue to walk. We continue to make progress. We continue to go forward because this life of faith is a long distance thing, right? We continue to endure. Verse 8, "This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." This can be a little bit confusing, but he's saying that the persuasion, the confusion that the Galatians were dealing with did not come from God. It came from people. And if you've ever heard the term, one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch, that's really what this means when it's talking about leaven, right? He's saying it doesn't take much to get thrown off, which I don't know the thing about the apples, if that's actually true. Maybe it is true, but you probably all heard that saying. Verse 10, "I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves," meaning just be done with themselves, cut themselves off. Verse 13, "For you are called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. So Galatians 5 is basically in two different sections. It's like two different halves. So this basically completes the first half of Galatians chapter 5. And then we're going to read the second section and kind of talk about that. But I do want to take a minute here to note the importance of loving one another, right? Loving the people around us and serving the people around us as we love ourselves. Now, one, the Bible calls us to love ourselves. Sometimes we're not good at that, but sometimes we are pretty good at that, even when we don't realize it, right? I mean, if you remember when COVID was first happening, first going on, man, remember when you couldn't get toilet paper? That was crazy. You go there and it was like people were going nuts to get toilet paper. And think about what people would do to get their toilet paper. And they were concerned about who? Themselves. Because they had to make sure they had, you know what I mean? And imagine if you went there and you were like, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to get toilet paper and I'm going to help somebody else get this and make sure they get some. Right? Nobody was doing that. Why? Because that doesn't come natural. And really, that's what the Bible's teaching us. To think about other people, that's the way God has loved us. And so we're called to, and I know that's kind of a silly illustration, but it does bring to light, and we're able to see, like, that naturally, it doesn't come as natural for us to think about other people. Now, remember when we talked about being heirs and the family of God last time we were here, I just wanted to go back and note one thing about being an heir that I didn't cover a couple weeks ago when we had our study, is that what God is doing in this place, the family of God, it is certainly not just about me or any one person. It's us, right? It's all of us. We're in this together. Now, I have the opportunity to study and to share God's word with you and teach you, but this is us. We're a family of God here in this place. And I would just encourage you to, you know, think about yourselves in that way and in that light. You have the opportunity to ask people that you work with how you can pray for them or invite them to join us for the study. You know, we won't make them stand up and give their testimony, right? Nobody's had to do that. We don't get the snakes out. You just grab lunch and sit down and listen, right? You could just, you know, we're in this together. That's what it means to be an heir. We're part of the family of God. And I just wanted to encourage you on that kind of from this first section as I thought about talking about being an heir. Now, here we go. Verse 16. I think this is where it gets really juicy coming up. Gets really good and very applicable. It says this. As soon as I can find my page here. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Watch this, verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So they're opposed to each other. We're dealing with both of these, okay? The desires of the flesh, the desires of the Spirit. They're opposed to each other. Why are they opposed to each other? It says it right there at the end. To keep you from doing the things that you want to do, meaning the things that we want to do that aren't good for us, the things that are not spiritually of God, okay? That's what it's talking about. So I don't know if you've ever felt conviction in your life from God. If you felt convicted over something, that's a good thing. That's good. That means that God is working in your life. That's evident of the Spirit. I don't want to be that way, right? The goal is not perfection. The goal is to feel that conviction so that God can lead you away from that. That's the point of feeling that conviction. So, you know, I'll give you an example. you know, I'll wait till we read the next verse to talk about these I think you'll understand that illustration better. So here we go, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries. I don't think it's Duke and Carolina, okay? Dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I know that's a tough read, and that's a little bit up in your face, but we can't just pick the parts of God's word that we like and don't like. Doesn't work that way, right? Now, I want to take a minute and explain some of this to you, and I'll help you understand this. Both of those things, the Spirit of God and the desires of the flesh, are in us, right? We're wrestling with those. Now, if we look at some of those things, have we done some of those as Christians? Yes. Now, praise God, not all of those, right? Not all of those things. But have we done some of those? I mean, what about if we're talking about the spirit of the flesh inside of us and the Spirit of God, how hard is it to forgive somebody that's hurt you that you don't want to forgive? It's not that easy, is it? Right? Why? Because the flesh in us is at odds with the Spirit of God, who commands us and leads us to forgive others. So here's the example that I was gonna give you, okay? I hold myself to the highest standard I can because I believe God has called me to that as a spiritual leader. But even as a Christian, I have failed some of these. Now, does that mean that we're not saved? No, it doesn't. Does not mean that we're not saved. So when you read that text, I want to read that again. When it says, those who do such things, not have done such things, but those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what that means is if you don't feel the conviction of it, these things are basically indicators. That's what they are. They're indicators of what's living, what we're allowing to control our lives, that they're revealing something in us. So, for example, when I mow my yard, I have my little Toro lawnmower, okay? It's my favorite thing to do. I love mowing the yard. It's part of the spring weather that I like. I have my little sunglasses, my little $10 sunglasses, okay? And when I'm done mowing and weed eating, I always set them right there on my lawnmower. They don't go anywhere, okay? So last, it was last year, year before last, I went to mow, went to grab my sunglasses, they're gone. Guess what? Nobody in my family moved them, nobody can find them, you know. And then down the road you find out, oh yeah, we did use them, but we don't know what happened to them. Fair enough, okay? I'm a Christian minister of the gospel and find myself having fits of anger. Right? Now, I felt convicted over that. I felt conviction over that. There's no way for me to act, right? God was working in me, and those two things were at odds because God was leading me away from things that are not good for me. And so that fit of anger that when I was acting like a five-year-old, right? Like, that's evident. That's an indicator of what I'm letting control me. Does it mean we're not saved? No, it doesn't mean we're not saved. It didn't take my salvation away from me. It just meant that I wasn't walking in the Spirit in that moment. And so we go back and forth, okay? So here we go. Here's the flip side to that in verse 22. This was one of the first verses that I memorized. If you've never memorized Scripture, it's so good for you. And this is a good one to memorize because it's real applicable to your life. Here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so again, these are indicators. They're revealing. In any given moment, am I walking by the Spirit? Times when you're patient, I'm not a real patient person. I know that's one of my qualities that I can sometimes allow my flesh to live too loudly, okay? I know I'm not a super patient person. And sometimes I hear people say when they read this verse, well, I've got some of those, but not all of them, right? I've got, let's just pick any given one. I've got gentleness, but I'm not patient. I want you to know that's not true, okay? You've got them all. You may just not be walking in them, okay? That's why it says fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, not fruits with an S. So if you were going to get a fruit punch, okay, it might have apples and bananas and grapes or whatever mixed into it. It doesn't say fruits juice. It's combined into one fruit juice, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit living in us. And when we're walking by the Spirit, these are also indicators in our lives that are revealing the things that we're walking in. And then the last verse says this, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so there we've covered the whole chapter, Galatians chapter 5, just kind of in an overview, giving you some understanding of that chapter. I hope it will help you learn. So here's going to be the application for us, okay? The application is going to be this, just for us all to think about, like, what area in our life does God want us to walk more in the Spirit and less in of ourselves, right? And I don't know what it is, but everybody that's walking in relationship with God has something. Like, hey, I need to be more patient. I need to be more gentle. I need to be more loving or faithful. I mean, if you look at those things, I need to have more of God's peace in my life. For me, I need to have more self-control sometimes. A lot of things I've got self-control in, a lot of them. One thing I don't is those Reese's eggs. Man, those things are incredible. I know I don't need to eat them, like, and I don't, but I don't have a lot of self-control. We've all got somewhere we need to grow, right? To walk in the Spirit and in less of the flesh. To walk in means what? It means to make progress, right? That's the whole thing about this message today, is that while we're saved, right, there's no condemnation for those in Christ, still on this side of heaven, we're walking in the Spirit and we're walking in the flesh. And a lot of times they're at odds with each other to keep us from doing what we want to do. So we walk in, we make progress. I'll share this last thought with you that'll kind of help tie all this together. I love doing officiating weddings. I have the opportunity to do that a lot. And often people talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, okay? It's a great chapter. And I do often include that in a wedding ceremony. It was included in mine. But it talks about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not envy. It does not boast. Love keeps no record of wrong, right? Now, when I tell people this in a wedding ceremony, I say, just so you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was not written for a wedding ceremony. It was written to a church that had been planted. It wasn't about weddings or wasn't about marriage, but it's so applicable. I think it's so applicable. And then as we look at that, and I try to remind couples that are getting married that want to hang on to this verse, love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous, is not envy, doesn't boast, keeps no record of wrongs. And I look at that and I go, well, I've got a good marriage, but here's the problem. I've been all of those things at some point in time, right? I've kept a record of wrongs, you know? Maybe not so much jealous, but there are certainly times in my marriage that I haven't been loving or patient or kind. And if any of you have been married more than a week or two, you have too, right? And so the idea is not being perfect in those things. It's that you continue to walk in them, right? You continue to walk in them. That's what progress looks like. It's not about perfection. And so as we look at our lives, our salvation is secure. But I just want you to know that as we walk in the Spirit, we continue to dust ourselves off and get back up and walk in that. It's okay to feel conviction, to go, I should probably let that go. I shouldn't have said that. It's okay to apologize. It's okay to not be too proud, right? It's not good for us to walk in humility so that we continue to make progress in these areas. Not going to perfect it. We're still going to have the flesh in us flare up when our kids take something and it disappears or whatever it is for you, okay? So I just want to pray for us that God would show you whatever it is that is too much of me and not enough of Him. And I pray that God would lay that on your heart, that you would walk with Him and trust Him as you continue your faith journey. So let me pray for us, and we'll be done. Lord, we love you. And God, I pray for every single person in this room, God, including myself, that you would reveal to us, God, the areas where we need to walk by the Spirit, where we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. God, help us, convict us, show us. God, thank you for your grace, thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your love. God, I pray that for every single person here in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.